I come today with a word for those who are part of the kingdom and those who would like to save their souls from a burning hell. The Bible is clear that we all have sinned and come short of God's glory. As pastor of Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, we believe that there is a prophetic move in the Christian church. Our church is developing itself in the Holy Ghost in our prophetic call as a congregation. The vision of our church is everything we do leads to worship. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We at Calvary believe that we are kingdom people. We are worshiping people. We are pursuing the promises of God that's laid out in His Word. When Jesus gave us the elements of prayer, He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, He said, "Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Listen to what Jesus says. May your kingdom come soon. One day, the Pharisees, those religious leaders in Jesus' day, asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" And Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there,' for the kingdom of God is already among you." In Luke chapter 17, reading at verse 20 and on, it says this: "Then He said to His disciples, 'The time is coming when you will long to see the day when the Son of Man returns. But you won't see it. People will tell you, 'Look, there is the Son of Man,' or 'He is here,' but don't go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. But first the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the world would be as it was in the days of Lot. people went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it would be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the Bible says, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Where will this happen, Lord? The disciple asked Jesus. And Jesus replied, just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. Again, that is Luke 17, verses 20 to 24 and verse 37. My brothers and sisters, we as believers, those in the body of Christ, we are called to sound the alarm. Jesus left Galilee for the last time, and he would not return before his death. And so he passed through Samaria. According to Luke chapter 9, verse 1, he passed through Samaria. And he met and healed 10 men who had leprosy. And then he continued to Jerusalem. He spent some time east of the Jordan, according to Mark chapter 10, verse 1, before going to Jericho. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, it says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. The Pharisees had asked Jesus when God's kingdom would come, not knowing that it had already arrived. And that's what we have to understand. The kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is not like earthly kingdom, people. The kingdom of God is not restricted to geographical boundaries. Oh, no. We must understand that the kingdom of God begins with the work of God's Spirit in people's lives and in our relationship. We must resist looking to institutions or programs for evidence of the progress of God's kingdom. It does not work like that. Instead, we should look for what God is doing in the hearts of people. The kingdom of God, hallelujah, is in people. The kingdom of God is in the believer. Amen. The Bible says that people will tell you, according to Luke 17:23, the Bible will tell you that people will tell you, look, there is the Son of Man, or here is the Son of Man. But don't go out and follow them, for as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. In other words, believers, many will come in these latter days many will come and proclaim to be the Messiah. Many will come and will claim that they are the Son of God or the Son of Man, or they'll tell you, I know that the Son of Man has returned. And people, sadly to say, will actually believe them. But Jesus, if you read the scriptures, warns us never to take such reports, such sightings seriously. Because no matter how convincing they may sound, when Jesus returns, his power, his presence will be evident to everybody. No one will need to spread the message because all will see for themselves. When he comes back, we'll know it. Hey, glory to his name. Life, the Bible says, will be going on as usual on the day Christ returns. No warning will sound. Most people will go about their everyday task, indifferent as it is now to the demands of God. And they will be surprised by Christ's return as the people were in Noah's day. And according to Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 8, or the people in Lot's day by the destruction of Sodom, revealed to us in Genesis chapter 19. We don't know the time of Christ's return, but we do know that he is coming back. Hallelujah, somebody. He may come today. He may be here tomorrow. It may be centuries or some faraway time in the future. But whenever the Lord comes, there's some things that the believer must be aware of. And that is, when he comes back, we must be morally and spiritually ready. We must live today as Jesus was coming back today. We can't live as though he's going to come back 10 years from now. We have to live as though he's coming back right now. Jesus warned the world, the followers, the disciples, against false security. We are to abandon the values and attachments of this world. We must recognize that in order for us to be ready for his return, we can't get so hung up in the materialistic things of this world, because his return will be suddenly. And when he comes, there will be no second chance. Some will be taken to be with him, and the rest will be left behind. And the word says in Luke 17:33, those clinging to this life are those seeking to escape physical persecution. Those who live for themselves display three common attitudes. First of all, they display an attitude of materialism. Secondly, of individualism. And thirdly, of skepticism. As they display the attitude of materialism, it is the attitude that says, I want it all today. I'm going to work hard to get it all. All that I see is real. Unseen things are merely ideas and dreams. I want all the materialistic things in that this world has to offer. Don't get be a materialistic-minded individual. Individualism says, I work hard just for me. You work hard for yourself and I work hard for me. I may make it and you may not make it. But that's, if you got a problem, that's your problem and not my problem. And I want you to know, those who have those kind of attitudes, the attitudes of materialism and individualism and the attitudes of skepticism that says anything I'm not convinced about can't be important. If it's important, you gotta convince me that it's important. Everything important to know, I can figure it out. Material-minded, individual-minded, and skeptic or skepticism. Those who have these attitudes, my brothers and sisters, may protect themselves, but they will lose one valuable asset of life, and they will lose the spiritual dimension of their lives. I came by to tell you today, keep your commitment to Christ at full strength. Then you will be ready when he returns. Be more concerned about kingdom values than you are about personal individualism. The Bible says in verse 37 that there was an answer to the disciples' questions. Jesus quoted a familiar proverb. He says, one vulture circling overhead does not mean much, but a gathering of vultures means that a carcass is nearby. Likewise, one sign of the end may not be significant, but when many signs occur, the second coming is near. Amen. Jesus knew there were opposition to him, especially from the Pharisees. They resented Jesus' popularity as well as his message, which challenged much of their teaching because Jesus was just beginning his ministry. It wasn't yet time to comfort these leaders openly, so he left Jerusalem and traveled north to Galilee. And if you read John chapter 4, you will read where Jesus confronted a woman at Sychar, at the well of Jacob, Jacob's well. And you know, you may know that incident recorded in John 4, the woman at the well. Well, I just have time to tell you that it is important to understand that Jesus will feed you, will quench your thirst when you seek him spiritually. We are a prophetic people. We are a worshiping people. We are kingdom people. And our job is to carry the message of the kingdom wherever we go. Hallelujah, somebody. That's why I appreciate Brother Melvin Slade. He wants the gospel of Jesus to get out. That's why he has the program called the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. That's why I appreciate the station KRAJ that giving him opportunity to spread the gospel, because we don't want anybody to die and cold go to hell. We want everybody to go and be part of the kingdom, their eternal state. Amen. But you have to start today. You have to do it now. You can't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to you. You have to open up your heart and your life to Jesus. Jesus Christ said that I have come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God that he has established a plan of salvation so that none of us will perish.